In our last story, we're going to take a look at one of the instances of live performance that is still surviving, and even growing in popularity.
Spoken word, or performance poetry, is a growing art form. All around the nation, spoken word artists give shows or compete in events called poetry slams where judges decide who did the best job. I went behind the scenes and onto the stage of the Stanford Spoken Word Collective's spring show to try and capture the live experience.
Okay, calling party.
Calling party.
I got Marlon.
I'll call Dylan.
Okay.
I can call Marlon.
I'll call.
I'll call Grant.
You are calling
Marlon.
Oh, where you be? Alon. Okay, see you soon.
We're in the Hume Writing Center, I think. I don't really know this place that well because I don't have any classes in this building. This is where the Spoken Word Collective meets on Thursday nights for workshop. And this is the last Thursday before our show on Saturday, so we're going through rehearsals right now.
No, Jesusa, my piece is dedicated to you. You haven't heard it yet, but you'll love it when you do.
Wait, who else?
My name is Max Hare. I'm actually new to the Spoken Word Collective this year, as well as like slam poetry in general, because I'm a transfer student, so I'm new to Stanford this year. And I'm going to perform one solo piece, which is just kind of untitled at this point, but a poem for my mom, and then whichever collabos that we do, collaborative pieces, so poems that involve more than one poet on stage.
I eat Y chromosomes for breakfast.
My sperm has sperm.
We are men. And as men, we follow a certain set of commandments.
Man commandments.
Commandments. Commandment number one.
Show no weakness.
The last time I cried was never. When I found out about Heath Ledger's death, my eyeballs only became slightly moist.
Last week, my girlfriend sat me down and said, "We need to talk. You're not communicating your feelings to me." So I looked her in the eyes and I grunted. Like a man.
My name is Dylan Kyle. I've been in Spoken Word Collective for 4 years. I am the most senior member, along with Vaughn. So I've been there since freshman year. And this Saturday, I am doing a poem. The name of the poem, I'm in the process of figuring out, something around baccalaureate address, but we'll figure it out there.
The Spoken Word Collective is an amalgamation of 16 different souls
collectively come together.
There's like 16 people or 18. I honestly don't know how many people are. We lose a lot of people every quarter and they come together. But basically, it's 18 people from like very different backgrounds, very different kind of writing styles, very different philosophies on the world. Well, not that, generally pretty liberal, but very different kind of mindsets and where they're coming from. We are currently in rehearsal on Thursday, which is, you know, the rehearsal before the show, and we're going through everything. And basically what we do is everyone goes up there, reads their piece, and we give some like final critiques if people want to like have some direction.
Do you guys remember where I stumbled in the middle?
My name is Dawn. I'm a senior, and I've been in the collective since my sophomore year, so that makes this the third year. The poem that I'm going to do this Saturday is currently untitled, but it's about my grandmother. I think I started writing poetry soon after I had gotten into the collective, which is an interesting story. I had thought the collective was originally a kind of drama group, so I mistakenly found myself in it, and really just started writing poetry after I'd gotten in. But it's been a good experience learning how to do
that. When did I start writing poetry? Probably sometime toward the end of middle school, I guess. Performance poetry, that's a good question, because it's a completely different beast. Not until I got to Stanford. It was actually kind of a freak coincidence how I got involved in the Spoken Word Collective at all. One Sunday, I was going to take the Caltrain to San Francisco to go to this concert, and I missed the first train. And so I came back onto campus and ate brunch, which is something that I hadn't done before. And outside of Stern, there was just a poster for auditions for the Spoken Word Collective.
I guess poetry, like, per se, as poetry, I probably started doing, like, freshman year for spoken word. Like, I hadn't done anything before that. I just came in, and I had done a lot of, like, drama in high school, and I had done a lot of writing, just creative writing before that, and was like, I want to do both. This is a way to combine both of them together, and, like, I'm, like, a mechanical engineering major, so this is, like, a way to keep the arts and performance in my life without having to completely sacrifice it.
I almost think with, like, things like poems that are this, like, this personal, that
almost thinking like less about how you want to perform it and more like just like performing it for yourself in your room enough times so that you like feel comfortable with it. So when you get up on stage, like pretend you're saying this to him. Like, how would you be feeling with every line?
People really are more receptive to poetry when it's performed and they're seeing it live in front of them. I think that spoken word, in the way that it combines poetry and performance, makes poetry accessible to a much larger audience than written poetry would have.
I think it's a different art form. Because it's not like a lot of it is the performance. You can have something written down, and with the written poem, the whole idea is you go over and pore over it and spend hours and hours looking at line after line. And with spoken word, it has to be more blunt. It has to be more kind of like in your face. And part of that is taking writing and having good writing, but then saying, how can I deliver this in one instance? How can I have this be kind of a communal experience?
Why do I perform? Jeez. I don't know. Probably because I'm extremely egocentric and have no other like appropriate means of expressing that. More than that, I just like being involved in performance poetry. It's really nice. Like when you go to a slam, somebody goes and performs and then sits down and listens to the next person perform, and you really kind of, I don't know, bond.
It was the same tone. It wasn't monotone, but it was like the same type of tone the whole way. So I thought like there were certain places you could be more like more animated.
It's less for me than for the messages I want to get across to an audience. So it's really gratifying to me when people come up to me afterwards and say things like, you know, the message that you were saying really resonated within me, and then I know that people are listening to what the poetry is saying.
It's like, I don't know, to me it's one of the better, just rewarding feelings that I get on a semi-regular basis at Stanford, much better than like grades or anything like that. Yeah.
Does anyone want to come just like put up some last posters in my closet now?
Is our main poster still okay, the blue thing, or is it?
I think the blue thing is still okay, but we still have like all these colored ones, and I was thinking we could just replace.
I don't know if I do really prepare mentally anymore. Maybe it used to be, like I said, since I'm new to performance poetry, it did take a lot more preparation once upon a time, just because like being on stage and having to especially recite not just memorize lines from Shakespeare, but like really recite something that you've written yourself and kind of share a piece of yourself with the audience took a lot more mental preparation, because that just the thought of that was kind of scary.
On Saturday, I'll probably go somewhere where I can hear myself talk and not be distracted by other people, and go through the poem at least 4 or 5 times by myself.
A normal speed,
just really trying to understand how my performance sounds to myself. If I have time earlier in the day, I might videotape myself and watch how the performance looks to my own eyes and then adjust accordingly.
Most pieces I've written, I've never like read through more than once or twice, and I've not really edited them particularly well. And in many ways, you know, that's like me being kind of lazy and procrastinating like I do with everything in my life. But in some ways, it's also kind of nice, because there's this idea that like right now, in this instant, is when I was writing this. I'm very much like centered in this. It's not something which, again, has been rehearsed 25 times and has this very kind of manufactured feel where I'm like,
and then the black winds fell on.
You know, there's this feeling in spoken word where, again, it feels like everything has a specific rhythm which you've planned out beforehand, whereas if you write it on the spot or write it right beforehand, it feels a lot more organic. It feels a lot more like you're doing it.
Damn it. I was hoping mine was last, because I don't have it memorized at all. But that's what I wanted to ask you guys about. I get really nervous on stage. Do I have to have it memorized?
Let's see where you are right now. We'll see what happens.
I'm not very fun.
Yes, I am afraid of performing. I used to be, and I guess to some extent still am, the person in classes when you have to go around in a circle and say your name.
My name is Dawn.
I'm terrified of saying my name,
even though
I can't do it wrong.
My name is Dawn.
It's hard getting up in front of an audience. I mean, I think it's the sense of vulnerability. You're getting up on stage and performing something that means a lot to you. A lot of the poems the collective performs are really personal poems that wouldn't ordinarily be shared in such a public spectrum, but getting up there and exposing yourself to something so dear to you really makes performing nerve-wracking sometimes.
My parents are coming.
Dylan.
Mine are too. Which one are you embarrassed by?
Both virginity and man.
My parents specifically saw some spoken word at Yale, and they're like, you don't do that weird sexual spoken word where they say penis jokes all the time.
No, verbatim.
My mom was like, this was really disturbing.
Dylan, please.
No.
Fine, let's do it. I'll do it.
Oftentimes, I'm known for playing characters and giving voices, which is fun, but a lot of my more favorite poems are ones where I'm really portraying myself and giving a story about an experience that I've had.
I think it is like a combination of the two. I think certainly there's like a voice and a character, which I don't typically, you know, it's not like my conversational thing, but it is like a consistent character that's been along for a long enough amount of time that you could say this is yourself or your own style. Because it's portrayed as a character and it's not being portrayed as like, this is me being honest, I think it is in that way actually more of me being honest, if that makes sense.
Work on your pieces, and then people can like have individual critiques in themselves tomorrow when they have time. I will probably be at Coverly all day on Saturday if you guys want to have rehearsal of pieces and show order and all that. But regardless of that, everyone needs to be at Coverly at 6 p.m.
Oh, so we can go to Coverly earlier than 6 on Saturday?
Wait, I thought the doors didn't open.
They don't open, but I will be. I'm going to try to get a code and get in there.
Oh, so you can. What are you going to be doing?
It is it's May 16th, 17th?
17th.
It's a Saturday evening, but the sun is still out, and we are here at Coverly Auditorium preparing for the Spoken Word Collective's spring show at Stanford. It's 6:50, 40 minutes until the open mic, 70 minutes until the show itself starts.
And you guys will do all of your mic adjustments in the dark. And then we won't cut the lights on until you're ready to start.
In the opening of the show, the idea is to give short bursts of poetry in kind of a surround sound fashion. So we have people jumping up from all over the stage and the audience giving their famous last words.
I spend my last breath on ancient sound waves, my ancestors' tongue dissipating until it disappears. And even though our words are buried with our bones, I spend my last breath saying this.
God, prove to me that the good does not always have to be beautiful. Justify my life, God. I will resign myself to die happily.
We came into this world screaming. Children of rainbows and rain clouds, it is our silence that is unnatural.
Not our lifestyle.
And these are our famous last words. Good evening, class. My name is Professor Johnston, and welcome to Coverly Auditorium at Stanford University.
When I walk up on stage, I fall into this sort of void where I'm not thinking about anything. I'm just focused solely on the upcoming 3 minutes, 3-4 minutes where I'm going to give this poem. And so I think it's hard for people to imagine a time when your mind is not thinking about anything, because so oftentimes it is. But when you're on stage, I'm just concentrating
on giving the
next poem.
In English, the word grandmother feels good to me, happy and warm. But in Mandarin, though the word pōpō means maternal grandmother, it feels thick on my tongue, heavy and unwanted.
In my earlier okay. 5 minutes away, yeah, all right. Who's in the audience? Who's in the first row? All right. Do I know anybody in this audience? Yes. All right. Let's pretend like I don't. All right. Where's the mic? Adjust the mic. Breathe.
My first class ever was Mysticism 101, a poetry class without words, taught to me by my mother at around the age of 4. I used to sit at the kitchen table and read books about the universe she gave me. And when I say read, I mean look at pictures, scrutinize, stare at pictures, rotating every planet on every page until I got dizzy. Until the Milky Way became a spiral galaxy merry-go-round, an extraterrestrial toilet flush, constellations melting into constellations that formed a swirling lollipop in space. A picture I could taste and taught me that somehow...
God is listening!
I can't wait for me to do my piece and then just be like lightning strike the building.
So like for the first time, I sinned underneath crosses, role-playing with canes and able to bend backwards, hands raised in prayer as friction started fires to make the devil jealous and my bush, what? I think it's God talking.
I'm really conscious of people's reactions in the audience. If there's a laugh, I'm really conscious of the fact that I need to stop afterwards and let people take that moment and then continue on so that they get the maximum effect of the poem. So I'm really concentrating on making a connection with the audience. When the audience doesn't respond to poetry, it makes performers feel kind of disheartened with the poem, because in spoken word, the audience's response really matters because it's an audience interactive process. Whereas compared to just written words, you can read it and then you don't necessarily have to respond to the page. But it's like having a conversation with somebody. If the audience is just silent and doesn't respond, then for me personally, it feels like I haven't reached them or haven't communicated my message effectively enough.
The way that Slam got started, it was supposed to be like a very audience interactive environment, you know, like the audience was supposed to be able to boo or applaud in the middle of your piece when they felt something viscerally at that moment. And that's the thing, spoken word is not necessarily slam, like we're just performance poetry, so it's more of like a very relaxed setting where I guess the audience is just there to sort of, I don't know, enjoy, hopefully. I guess like that is their role, is to enjoy.
The thing about spoken word, and because it is so supportive and it's an audience interactive process, it makes the art of performing a lot less intimidating because people are there to support you.
4 years of work, cash, 4 years of itching and pregnant twitches. Here we go. She's a Chevrolet like dad's, a coupe that hugs the ground in hot little arcs.
Coming from some sort of like performance background from high school, it's nice to see like the audience interaction, see how they respond, and you can kind of like cater your performance towards that. So it really is kind of more of a creative process where everyone is collaboratively working together.
It is sixth grade, a year full of endless kickball games and 10th place in the spelling bee. I am 12 years old, the eldest in my family, and the closest thing to an adult that my mom has to talk to. It's a Sunday afternoon, and we sit on the edge of her bed in that August heat. She turns to me and says, "Yaj, go get me a beer." Like a lone satellite moving around a moon, I'm gravitated to that usual shelf in the fridge. Back in the room, we stare at a closet full of life things, of dresses with shoulder pads, of photo albums of better times, of letters from long ago people. She tells me, "Yaj, there's a sibling that you don't know about. I called it long time ago, baby." With her fingernail.
When I perform, if I haven't memorized the poem completely, I'm really concentrating on making sure that the poem goes smoothly. But if the poem's there in my head, I'm really concentrating on how I'm delivering the poem itself. There's not any sort of dialogue or thoughts that are occurring to me as I perform. It's more concentrating on delivering each word of the poem exactly how we had rehearsed it and exactly how I feel that it is in that moment. So I'm not consciously commenting on anything that's going on. I'm just wholly within the poem, and that's a strange way to describe it, but that's how it is. You're just inside the poem.
Is inconceivable. And at that moment, everything was. She says, "Yaj, do you know why you dream so much? It's because I used to sing to long time ago, baby."
Going through my mind when I perform, not much. Again, I guess like I'm trying to be somewhere else than on the stage right then and there, while at the same time kind of being able to pick up on cues and stuff from the audience. If you're just in the moment, you can kind of lose track of where you're trying to go with your piece. And she puts
her shoulder. I think how people change during poems, or at least how I change during poems, really depends on the content. If it's something that's really been on my mind for a long time, and this is a poem that's really bringing those issues to light, As I go through the poem, I'll feel the impact of the poem more as the audience responds.
A lot of it depends on like the type of poem, but I think the most typical change is kind of feeling like you're into a stride, feeling at some point where it's just like, oh, instead of thinking about what's going on, you kind of get with the audience, get a little bit more at ease, a little bit more comfortable. And so it does kind of feel like that things are flowing a little bit better.
I would like to start my speech today with a quote. A quote from the President of the United States of America, as played by Bill Pullman in the 1996 motion picture Independence Day, also starring Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum. In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join those from around the world, and we will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind. That word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We are fighting for the right to live, to exist. We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We are going to live on. Today is our Independence Day from college. That last part, from college, I added that.
I think spoken word definitely has a very strong power to change people emotionally during the course of a performance. I've seen many audiences, when a poem ends in tears, I've seen them holding their sides from laughing so much. I think people are really moved by spoken word.
Dear Brandon.
And that's what makes it worth doing sometimes.
I'm writing you this letter because I don't know how to verbalize what I want to say. Because it is difficult for me to say the things that I do know. And because some of these things will be difficult for you to hear. I want you to have this letter to lean back on, to bring you to reality, to help you through whatever you're going through. I need you to know that some of the things that I have to say will be soft, some will be harsh, but they all need to be said.
I don't think there's like any like broad cathartic experience where people are like, oh, I used to think this, now I think that. Like, I kind of wish that's what it did, but I think for the most part that's not really true.
I know I change when I'm an audience member, especially if I hear a really, really good piece. Man, there's something about hearing poetry that just like takes me out of myself, and maybe it's not a permanent effect that it has on me. Like I'll wake up the next morning and like be able to go on with my day. But like sometimes you hear just a line, and maybe like a line or an image or something, and it can just drop you to the floor, and your mind is just stuck on it for seeing you grow into
a young woman. Picture him standing there on the edge of a red cliff. He's got braids in his hair as the sun creeps up the horizon and the sky screams out his name and the wind blows on his back, bends his knees and prepares to jump as adrenaline is coursing through his veins and his heart begins to pump. He takes one.
Cast down your bucket where you are. Despite what many may think, Oprah Winfrey is not God, and you will not receive divine inspiration from her commencement speech. You must find the fire within yourself.
Freedom from gravity. The air blows through his clothes. Bliss races past his face. Letting life go.
A group live performance where you're watching the same poem along with 200 or 300 other people is really, it really changes the way that you listen to the poem and that you react to it if you had just been watching it yourself. There's something, some collective identity that emerges within the audience that really, it is kind of, in a way, like a ritual or a collective spiritual experience, because everyone is feeling, maybe not the exact same emotion, but has heard the exact same thing and is being moved in different ways. And especially the force that comes with, if everyone especially enjoys a poem and gives a rousing round of applause or even a standing ovation, there's something in there that can't be captured in a CD recording.
When I'm looking for them, I see like beautiful things in the world every single day. But usually, I'm kind of a secular person. To me, like those acts of beauty are not purposeful. Like I can't look at the person who's like doing those things to me, these like acts of beauty or just moments of beauty in day-to-day life. It's really nice to know that somebody is like giving you something like that. And yeah, that's I think the best, or one of the best things that I can think of right now about like the act of performance. It's different than just beauty that you see.
And that's a promise.
And that's a promise. And that's a promise.
Still not good enough.
If you want something done right,
you gotta do it yourself.
Hi, I'm a minority.
And I'm a woman.
Great question. I agree. I am changed.
And I am changed.
Pay no attention to the white males behind us.
I will do anything to protect this country that's given my family hope and my roots a home.
I will do anything to support this land of equal opportunity for all people, regardless of gender.
Because we are one nation, but many people. Pay no attention to the white males behind us. We are equal, but we are different. Discrimination without evaluation, under God, indivisible. Pay no attention to the white males behind us. Thank you, and good night.